Today on the Dark Side of a Medical Examiner and Cadaver Dog are called to the park where investigators have found Brian Laundrie's items. A Florida woman is suing Brian Laundrie's dad for $40. We'll find out why. And following conviction in New York, a date has been set for R. Kelly's Chicago federal sex crimes trial. All that and more today on the Dark Side of...
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of...
That it is. Welcome to the program. And if you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, get access to advanced episodes, get our bonus content, all sorts of extra stuff for you. And it's all commercial free. Please become a supporter of our show, a Dark Sider, at patreon.com/dark, patreon.com and search Dark Side of there on Patreon. Or go to darksidepod.com. It's Tony and Sean with you on today's episode of the show. And breaking news, as we are recording this, by the time this airs, there may be even more. This is what, you know, if this were live, it's one thing, but this is going to be going out Friday. So who knows what's going to be going on at that moment in time. But it's interesting in this Gabby Petito case, they've called out the cadaver dogs.
You called it.
Yeah. Although I said he'd be like in a hotel room somewhere, but they're out in the wilderness and they found some of his stuff. I mean, they found some of his stuff. I mean, for one thing, if you're being searched for and you know people are out there looking for you and you'd want to try and take them off your trail, I think I'd leave some of my shit somewhere and then get the hell out of there and then make them, you know, kind of do this. Or... maybe it's just gone really, really dark.
Ugh, this Charleston chew is amazing. Should I throw away the wrapper in a garbage like a good human? No. I should drop it right here and maybe leave some saliva on it and then fly to Japan.
And in magic marker, write Brian Laundrie's Charleston chew.
Brian Laundrie was here, but no longer.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens here as this continues. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that story in just a moment. What's going on with you?
Oh boy, that's a vague question. You're going to have to be a bit more particular in that department.
How's it going?
It's going really good. Going really good. I feel as though there are a lot of things that are happening throughout this time of year that I feel as though that I should be doing and I'm not.
Like what?
Ordering. Putting pants on, yeah. Bathing.
Yeah.
Eye contact with anybody else aside from myself. Pumpkin spiced anything.
Yeah.
Whether it's a donut or a latte or a latte donut pie. Soup, turkey. Also, I've not yet unpacked any scarves. I've not purchased a pumpkin or a knife to use on the pumpkin. Just a lot of fall things. And of course, I think it's depending upon what part of the country you're in and or if you grew up in one part of the country. For example, you grew up in California and then you're in the north. Mm-hmm. Christmas is a whole lot different.
Yeah.
I would imagine even a bit more strange if you grew up in a colder climate and now you reside in a bit more mild. So a lot of norms that should be happening right now that I'm not doing.
Why?
Quite honestly, for the most part, I'm okay with it.
Why not? Just because it's just you and you don't feel the need to... you know, do those activities in like, cause a lot of them are like kind of like group type things or, you know, that, you know, let's do this activity together. And kind of when you're by yourself, it's like, yeah, I can live without that. Is that kind of what's going on?
I think so. And, yeah. And I, obviously this, last 18 months, as we continue on, I don't know, wasn't there a certain time where it very quickly came in your brain of when the pandemic started and now over the last 6 months or so, it's a year and a half,
almost two.
I don't know. But there's certain things, and again, as many people as there are in the world, there's that many ways that we have interpreted personally the pandemic. But I think as a whole, even the most comfortable communicator, interpersonal, outer personal, public speaker, it has shifted your vibe of other people a certain way.
Sure.
Some even more. I love people. Usually if there's 10 people in the room, I'd love 7. Now I love all 10, even you, douchebag. And then there's others where it has swung the other way, where maybe they were already particular, but now even more. And I think for me, I am stuck right in the middle. So one day we'll want to just be chatty Cathy with everyone. The next day, no. And it's a situation when you look to kind of, you know, kind of get back to life, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. Being that indecisive, you don't come across as that best of a person to make plans. So to answer your question, I think it's just digesting it. And who knows? We still have less than 2 weeks until the official Halloween. I've not purchased yet my Kit Kats to give away to the trick-or-treaters and eat one bag and then give the other away on the 31st. And I also may carve a pumpkin. The great thing is, this year, guaranteed, pumpkin is not going to look like his dentures fell out before Halloween. Because usually, I don't know about you, but usually I'm an early pumpkin carver.
I'm a late
September.
I'm a late
really?
Pumpkin carver. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I mean, because you have to carve it like within like 3 or 4 days of putting it out. Otherwise, it's going to go bad. So I don't carve mine till like October 28th. Or so. But
things I should have learned in life maybe a little bit earlier than my almost fourth decade of life.
Yes, that's a key thing with carving. You can't carve them too early. But what my problem is I get so caught up in the other Halloween stuff that we end up missing carving the damn pumpkins more than not, where it's like, well, shoot, we never got a chance to carve those pumpkins. We were doing all these other things. And then we end up just kidding the seeds out, but never actually carving the darn pumpkins. So,
I think carving pumpkins and dyeing Easter eggs, two things for me, yeah, in childhood early on that were very definitive. Of all the other things that you can miss throughout the holidays, not wrapping presents until literally Christmas Eve, yeah, day to be opened 7 hours later. Those are two things that were very much hammered in. So sure, amidst all the other things. And by the way, if I may, people that listen to this, if you haven't, you should. The ghost show you do. It's a, yeah, a thing or two, maybe, you know, 7, 9, 11 people listen. On the your Instagram, I saw the drone footage you made, the trailer of your
my house.
Well done. You have a creative bone in your body. You're going to be something big one day, Tony Bruschi.
We got a drone for me and Harper's Adventures, and we go out and do a little ghost hunting and kind of learn about the history of some older locations and such. So it started, we were just recording it on the phone, and I'm like, I'm going to go get a GoPro. So I got a GoPro. I really like that. And I'm like, yeah, I want to get some better shots than this even. So I went like, I want aerial shots. So I got a drone, and now I've also added in new microphones. I got lapel cordless wireless Rode microphones that are coming too. So we have basically a full little production thing going on over here for our next trip out.
Yeah, I just, when watching it, I was listening to, is it Keith Morrison?
Yeah, on Dateline.
Coming up. They started as neighbors.
What do you
then
do?
Wife and husband. I don't know if you could hear that train, but that was right on cue.
That was perfect. It was a train going by one
and
day.
And then the railroad crossing closed.
But what was this? Was there someone on the tracks? Oh, but there was someone on the tracks. Little did they know, an oncoming train was just around the corner, barreling ahead.
And by train, we mean a burnt hot dog. So yeah, it was very good.
Thank you.
And good luck on that, and however that comes to be.
Yeah.
And we will have yet another addiction to our daily podcasting life.
It's fun. All right, let's jump into our story here of where things are at with the Gabby Petito case. A medical examiner and cadaver dog has been called to the park where investigators found Brian Laundrie's items. This is from CNN. And like I said, as we're getting this, it is breaking news at the moment. So things could very rapidly change by the time you hear this. The Sarasota County Medical Examiner and cadaver dogs were called on Wednesday to a Florida park where authorities found several items belonging to Brian Laundrie, the missing fiance of Gabby Petito. Laundrie's parents, Chris and Roberta Laundrie, informed the FBI and the Northport Police Department Tuesday night that they intended to come to the park on Wednesday morning to search for him. Family attorney Stephen Bertellino says law enforcement met them there Wednesday morning, he said. After a brief search off a trail Laundrie frequented, the family and law enforcement found some articles belonging to him. Bertello said he would not give any further information on what or how many items were found. Bertello said that the law enforcement is now conducting a more thorough investigation of that area. The Sarasota County Medical Examiner has been called to the scene. The Pasco County Sheriff's Office said a cadaver dog and two spotters were also on the site. The Sarasota County Sheriff's Office Emergency Response Team and the Lee County Sheriff's Office are also now on scene, along with a mobile unit and a tent. Northport Police declined to comment. The discovery comes amid an exhaustive search for Laundrie that has now stretched over a month, and authorities try to piece together what happened to Petito. So I guess I want to say this. If your child is missing, take the fact of the equation out of this that he showed back up to your house with his girlfriend missing with her vehicle and you all went for a camping trip that following weekend together, because who doesn't go, hey, let's go for a camping trip. I know your girlfriend's missing. You're probably a suspect in a murder, but hey, put the hot dogs back there. We got the campfire. Kindling's over there. Let's go have a nice family campfire. Take that all out of the equation and your child is missing, and say your son is Brian, and say you realize maybe he's a killer, but you still probably want to find your son. Wouldn't you already be, if you're the parent, going, well, where does he like to hike? Where is he going to go? Last thing he told us was he's going hiking. I think I'd be hitting every one of those fucking trails, searching for anything of him. But now a month later, we find some stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, he likes to hike there. I guess we'll go over and see what they found.
I mean, it takes time for people to digest and process.
Fuck that.
It takes time to...
I'm done. I'm done with the reasoning with these idiot parents. There's something going on here.
Here's the thing. This could be exactly that. It could also be looking at a situation and immediately, and not even on purpose, but immediately viewing it how you would deal with it. Or in the case
person.
Of how many would deal with it. There is still a percent above zero that they're not covering anything up. And again, stupid and stupidity is a relative term, but truly they may just be not the smartest crayons in the box.
I don't know. I mean, it's nutty.
Brightest is what the saying is, not the smartest. Crayons aren't smart.
I mean, the way that they're handling themselves is just deplorable. I mean, they're just, it's like there's video of them just going out their lives, mowing their lawn, not saying a word to anybody. It's
just
like,
saying,
for the love of God.
These are parents that would perhaps raise someone who would kill their girlfriend.
That's a very good point. If you take a look at the demeanor and the way that these people are acting as human beings, you have to go, these people raised that person. So maybe it's an apple not falling that far from the tree thing where it's like, well, if the son is, you know, this is how the son's thinking, where did he learn that?
Anger management, it's a real thing. And I'm not excusing people with terrible tempers. Not at all whatsoever. Yeah. With that being said, you can be a very, very, very angry person and have no idea how to handle your temper. You could be a very small female. You could be a very large male. You can be livid at someone. You don't kill them.
Yeah.
So I'm not excusing people with tempers or people that have to deal with. Not at all. All I'm saying is that is something is happening there where it allows him to snap and just it, again, fluid situation. It may not be his demeanor to actually, I don't know, kill someone when he gets so angry, but it might be a situation where he just is like that. And it just the perfect recipe and all the ingredients needed to come to fruition for him to then do that. And his parents may or may not have not helped him kill someone, but maybe early in his life weren't necessarily the best in a few categories to give him an outlet. Hey, if you have these feelings, go for a walk, go yeah. for a hike before you kill the girlfriend. And then fast forward to how they're handling this situation. Maybe something covering up, or just their inability to really kind of wake up and look at things clearly and say, really? Like, maybe you're not handling this in the best way
possible. Where do you think this goes with the parents? I mean, just your gut, your opinion. This is not like this is going to be fact, but it's going to go one of two ways, I think. Either the parents are helping to cover something up for their son, maybe even involved in this in some way, shape, or form, or they're just idiots. I mean, just really just the, you know, these people are not intelligent in terms of how to handle a situation socially with other human beings, with the decency of these other parents, of just communicating and trying to find a resolution here of at least get their son back alive. Are they just idiots, or are they covering something up?
Honestly, I think they're not the brightest covering uppers. Cover uppers.
Well, clearly, I mean,
not a phrase, but I think that they are trying. How this is all going to unfold is they will say they were just being, you know, if your baby comes home, it doesn't matter what they've done. You just want to be there for them. You want to protect your baby, Jesus. and then they're not, the best at it. So I think it's not cut and dry 100% they're dumb, they are dumb, or 100% they are sinisters, part of the mob from the eons ago, and they're just sweeping it under the rug. Brian, go this way. We'll put the sense that away and keep going. So I think there's a combination. And again, not to retract, but you be a parent in this situation, even if you don't have any kids. You be in a situation where your child comes home and doesn't directly tell you, but you find out they killed someone. They killed someone.
Yeah.
As a parent, there may be a situation where you get a call from the school. It's the assistant principal saying, so-and-so, you know, punched someone at lunch today. Mm-hmm. Just that alone, you're like, oh my God. Oh, what do I? Yeah, magnify the punching to, you know, another person is now no longer living due directly to your offspring. What do you do? Not excusing.
Yeah.
Just trying to like literally comprehend that. For me, it is not something to comprehend until you're in that position. And then hopefully you don't crap your pants and you try to handle it the best way you can. Is there a best way to handle it? No. Is it hard as you know what to literally turn your child in? Yes. And then the guilt that you would need to, so it is a no-win situation. I am not excusing the parental guidance or lack thereof right now, but I think it's a combination of holy shit, our son killed a person, just got home, we're not the brightest, and now we're gonna do whatever the hell we think we can do to make the best of the situation, knowing there's not a best scenario in this situation.
The only thing to do at this point is to start fucking talking and showing that compassion and showing that you give a shit and showing that you're trying to cooperate and you're trying to at least get your son back home alive, because they're not even doing much with that. I mean, it's baffling the way they're acting. It's just like, just pretend it didn't happen. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to make of these people whatsoever. I mean, just other than they're just completely disconnected from reality. I mean the fact that they're just so like, I don't know, this is probably a long shot, but it almost makes me wonder, like, is there more shit with these parents and they don't want a magnifying glass on them for some reason, for something completely unrelated to this, where it's like, you start opening up their Pandora's box. What are we going to find there? I don't know. I mean, that I don't know. It's just, it's very, very bizarre. A Florida woman who claims Brian Laundrie's father removed a Gabby Petito lawn sign that she placed told Insider she's suing him for $40 in an attempt to irritate the family enough to break their silence on the case. Andrea Griffin of Bradenton filed the lawsuit Monday in a small claims division of Sarasota County Court. In the lawsuit, which was viewed by insider Giffen, Griffin says that she contributed funds to a sign as a part of a peaceful protest. The sign read, "What if it was Cassie?" in reference to Christopher Laundrie's daughter. A photo attached to the lawsuit shows Christopher Laundrie removing the sign and walking back towards his Northport, Florida home. On or about the morning of October 16, 2021, the defendant, Christopher Laundrie, came out of his home, walked up to the sign, stole it, and walked back onto his property, the lawsuit alleges. Laundrie's family attorney, Stephen Bertellinos, told Insider Tuesday that the family was being harassed with lawsuits for a $40 sign that was more likely on their property and should be considered litter. The lawsuit comes as the Laundrie family home has been surrounded by protesters and gawkers interested in Brian Laundrie's connection to the death of Petito, who was his fiance. Fox News recently caught two protesters on camera showing up at the home in the middle of the night, banging on the door and yelling, "Come on, dirty Laundries." In the phone interview with Insider on Tuesday, Griffin said that she is one of two community activists who demonstrate outside the home of the Laundries, who she repeatedly referred to as dirty Laundries throughout the week. On the weekend, she said the crowd grows to about a dozen. Griffin said she filed the lawsuit as a strategy to push the Laundries to speak about their son's connection to Petito's death. "I'm not invested in the lawsuit. It's something that's going to keep this relevant," she said. "It's something that's going to drive the Laundries a little nuts." What did you just send me?
I sent a picture of the parents.
Okay.
As you're reading that, I said, this is too good not to send. Brian Laundrie's mother, she may be terrible at covering up her son's disappearance. Really good at finding masks that match the color of her face.
Number one, she's out in the middle of the wilderness. Why are you wearing a mask there? I don't think there's a lot of COVID in the Everglades out by the gators.
It almost looks photoshopped.
It does. I mean, I'm all about wearing a mask when you should, but outside in the middle of a swamp, you're good. I mean, this is just shows how insane this is. They don't seem to really give a shit enough about the other family that had their daughter die and was murdered.
But God damn it, I'm not getting COVID.
In the swamp. I mean, are these just like two like dumb narcissists? I mean, Is that really what we're dealing with?
Her mask. What color would you like? Dermis?
Flesh.
My dermis? Man, that is good. It looks photoshopped. It's her eyes, her nose.
God.
Same color. And then no mouth.
All he needs to be doing is wearing like a Hannibal Lecter mask, and then we'd have like the perfect duo right there.
I think that ultimately how this is going to play out, they're going to kill each other. They're going to kill each other.
Well, what the fuck? I mean, what
they're
are they doing
so
in the swamp
much in
like
right
that?
Now, yeah. Roberta, shut up, Christopher. Roberta, you don't need a fucking mask out here.
I wouldn't be surprised if those two end up dead.
Yeah.
Not by, but more like a murder-suicide or a joint suicide where they just, I don't know how they go on. I don't.
Arson.
Something.
Light it all.
Unless, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the fact that they've been able to go this long and have this sort of weird narcissistic way of handling this, I don't know. I mean, people like that tend to never feel like they're wrong in anything, but I don't know. Unless they're...
So she is walking. She's leading in this picture. She has the mask on. It is a perfect match to her skin tone.
God.
He's following. So that right there shows you, okay, she's in charge. She wears the pants and the skin-colored mask outside. He looks to be itching his arm. Could be a mosquito bite. Could also be a nervous twitch that he's had since eighth grade. But it could also be, it could be starting to fester.
Yeah.
That maybe she's the, shut your mouth. Don't say anything. So that's another thing, too, that we've not looked at. They're two separate humans.
Uh-huh.
They've been married for a while. Obviously, this is both their child, their son. But maybe there may be a divide within the two of them. One wants to be more communicative to law enforcement. The other is, not my baby boy. So that may be something that also could appear from the outside as they are concealing evidence slash stupid.
Even
there may be an internal loyalty to their son from, you know, mom or dad.
Even their daughter has come out and spoken, saying, people are asking, like, you know, what are your parents covering anything up? They're like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there. Like, even she seems to be like kind of in shock. Like, I have no fucking clue what's up with these people. Why everybody's acting these bizarre ways.
And if anybody thinks that their daughter or his sister is concealing, no. I mean, once you're out of the house and your siblings are doing things, and if you, I don't even know where.
No, I don't think she has anything to hide. I think she's just like, what the fuck just happened to my family?
Legitimately like, I don't know. I don't know why you're looking at me.
Like, yeah, I mean, I feel bad for her because I feel like she's just kind of like, what the hell just happened to these people that are called my family? And why are they doing this?
I want to get married now so I can change my name and nobody will ever know who I am ever.
God. It's it is quite baffling. So that's
what's your take on the mask where you can get like your pet laser printed, your pet's mouth laser printed on your mask?
I'm good with just a solid color mask or just a normal
over the flesh colored.
The flesh is a bad choice. That's a weird one. That just looks like you lost your mouth in a horrible accident. And you're like, what happened to your mouth? Like, oh, you know, that's kind of horror movie-ish. I like just a nondescript, it's a mask. Like just be a color. Can be stripes. Just something.
Do you go holiday? Like over the next three months, you have three masks minimum.
I don't
one could
sell
be candy corn. One could be a turkey. One could be presents with Santa.
As much as I enjoy celebrating the holidays, I'm not going to use my mask to do that.
It could say boo.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. I don't do holiday or themed masks. I just kind of go, I have like a bunch of black ones and gray ones. So it's very.
Well, there's a small business owner right now saying, fuck you, Tony. I'm making 4,000 jack-o'-lantern masks currently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm trying to sell them online.
You're probably right. And I'm sorry for that. But I'm not going to be getting one of those. I'm just going to stick with my. I don't know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to make the best of the mask thing. Like, I'll wear the mask, but I'm just not going to like make it a kitsch, you know, fun, funny thing. Let's get to one more story here before we wrap up. A federal judge on Wednesday ordered R&B superstar R. Kelly to stand trial in Chicago on child pornography and obstruction of justice charges next year. After the scheduled sentencing for his conviction in an earlier sex trafficking trial in New York. Oh, this is interesting. So they're setting it up for after the sentencing, which I believe is like in May. U.S. District Judge Henry Lenweber appeared to have wanted the trial in Chicago to begin earlier, but he set it for August 1st. After one of Kelly's attorneys, Steven Greenberg, said that another of Kelly's attorneys will be in trial on other cases through July. Attorneys told the judge during the brief hearing that they estimated the trial of Kelly and co-defendants Daryl McDavid and Milton June Brown would last 3 to 4 weeks. Kelly, who remains jailed in New York, was listening to the hearing on a conference call but did not speak. His sentencing there is scheduled for May 4th, and he faces up to life in prison. Kelly, who was born Robert Sylvester Kelly, is facing four separate indictments of alleged sexual abuse in a state court in Chicago and a child prostitution charge in Minnesota. Experts have said there's a possibility that prosecutors could drop the charges in state court if he receives a lengthy prison sentence in New York, but there's virtually no chance the federal charges in Chicago will be dropped. Kelly, who has been jailed without bail since 2019, was convicted last month by a federal jury in New York on racketeering and conspiracy charges and other counts. Greenberg said on Wednesday after the trial, Kelly was placed on suicide watch, but that has ended. Just like they ended suicide watch for Mr. Jeffrey Epstein. He's good. He's fine. Give him an extra blanket. I don't think it's going to work out well.
Is there any correlation of what R. Kelly has done due to the fact that his given middle name was Sylvester?
You know, it's not R.S. Kelly. It's just R. Kelly. So, you know, is there a little bit of shame there in that? It's like, I don't like the name Sylvester. I don't know. Do you think
Robert Sylvester Kelly.
I can't say it'd be a real selling point in his initial grooming of women. We're like, what's your name? Sylvester. You know, like, I don't think that would, I don't think that would be a turn on initially when he's manipulating people. But
there,
who knows?
There is also a comedian, Robert Kelly. That's when you change your name.
I feel bad for that guy. That would suck.
I think it's a situation where there's so much against him that anything added on to it, not belittling the new charges, who it affects.
Yeah.
Because it's just as tragic of the others. But I think at this point, he's been convicted. He's going to be in jail. Should he stay alive in jail or not? It kind of matters not. Obviously, if it's a hotel or a motel or a Holiday Inn, I mean, it matters not. You're tired. You don't want to drive through the night. You just, you know.
You know.
That was a reference, of course, to one of R. Kelly's songs.
Yes, yes. You know, you throw the remix to Ignition. You know, it's a little hot and fresh out the kitchen. But it's going to be one of those things where we have this verdict, which is indeed hot and fresh out the kitchen. But now we're just kind of wondering if they're going to keep rolling these trials, got everyone in here wishing that he may be getting another sentence and it might be so long. And he's like, so what? I'm gone. It's the freaking verdict. He's going to be in trial or in jail so long. I did a bad job at trying to.
Right. When it is the freaking weekend.
It is the freaking.
Sometimes you wake up, you do believe you can fly.
You do. Yes.
And whether it's the same girl, whether she's fed up or not, you can bump and grind if it seems like you're ready, you know, to stick it in the Ignition at the motel or the hotel.
Yeah.
When your body is calling and you're down low, you know, you can tell someone that you saved me.
He's standing there going, he's like, I'm your angel.
That was eight songs.
I didn't do this. I'm your angel. The little forgotten one that he did with Celine Dion, which she has like demanded be pulled from every streaming service on the planet. And he's like, Celine, it'll be gone. We'll never hear of this song again.
That's a very interesting take on an artist in all facets, whether it's a singer, whether you're you collaborate on a painting. I mean, you really need to check yourself. If I do anything with another person, they best not shame me, because that'll never go away. Celine Dion can, you know, change and put out press releases and disassociate and this, that, or the other, but that will never go away. She is connected to yuck.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people. I mean, there's so many that are. And I think a lot of people can look beyond and go, look, these people really didn't know, you know, the gravity of what was going on. Now, the record company, I think, has a little more reckoning to do, because I think there's a lot of his handlers and stuff that knew a shitload more of the record company's going, he's one of our best sellers. Just keep it quiet. But if
you think.
Go ahead.
Jell-O. Do you think Jell-O will ever rebound to its.
I think Jell-O will ever. What does Jell-O have to do with this?
Bill Cosby?
Yes. What about? Yeah.
He was the Jell-O.
Sure. Sure.
Spokesperson.
Yeah. I think Jell-O's been doing pretty good since Bill left them well before the. Because it wasn't like Jell-O dropped Bill Cosby when those charges came out. I think Jell-O dropped Bill Cosby 30 years ago.
If anything, you know, the Jell-O. Became even more of current slang, and then you want to go get some pudding.
Yeah, you know, pudding pops. Now those are going to take those. I think will take more of a hit than the Jell-O itself, because I think of pudding pops more than I think of Jell-O when it comes to Bill Cosby.
Well, and I really think that very niche multi-pack of pudding and R. Kelly CDs are really
when you buy
those are the one that are going to be. Flying off the shelves.
When you buy two and you send the UPCs in by mail, you can get that commemorative R. Kelly disc, which was probably bad planning, but it's already on the boxes, so it's going to be out there in the stores for a little while. So everybody just, you know, you can still get the
CD. Did you ever collect Pepsi stuff points?
I remember that. No, I didn't.
Well, speaking of CDs, I got a very swanky Pepsi CD holder.
Ah.
Blue. Has the little Pepsi logo in the corner. It a highly quality made CD book.
I remember the Pepsi Stuff CD itself that they would send out, and it always was like, it was a bunch of artists that you knew with songs that you didn't know from them. It's like, these songs didn't quite make it into any of our albums, so now it's on the Pepsi Stuff CD.
But we're
going to
give
CD.
You them all.
It's on the Pepsi Stuff CD. It's like, who's listening to the Pepsi Stuff CD? Like, that's a great album. These are all like rejected songs.
By the way, Pepsi Stuff, way back in the day, was a great marketing effort by the Pepsi company to force you to buy a shit ton of Pepsi.
Yeah.
On the actual packaging, there was a little, you know, you cut out, like,
yeah.
If you get like a 12-pack, 5 points, 24-pack, 10 points, etc. And then you could redeem the actual cardboard points. You had X amount, and for the low, low cost of 700 Pepsi points, which was probably, what, $300 in Pepsi soda, uh-huh. You got a $9 CD case.
Yeah, once you got diabetes from the Pepsi, you got a free CD case. It was totally worth it.
And your Three Doors Down, Willa Ford, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott, and
David
Eiffel 65 CDs yeah. In that CD case woke you up from the sugar coma from all of the Pepsi consumption.
Yeah. Gotta love it. Gotta love the Pepsi stuff.
Wilford Brimley was actually the spokesperson for that Pepsi.
For Pepsi campaign. Stuff? He was?
No, because diabetes. And,
yeah, okay.
You know, sugar.
I was going to say, that'd be an interesting one. That'd be kind of humorous. Like
that would have been great.
Like, that would have been really funny, like, just trying to use him as, like, a hip spokesperson for something like that. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's episode of A Dark Side of...
He died.
If you, I know he did. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become a Dark Sider, sign up at patreon.com, search Dark Side, or go to our website, darksidepod.com. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side of...